Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews tonight, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read verses 1 and 2, and you can follow with me in your Bible if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And the Word of God says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Father, tonight we thank you again for the great salvation that you have secured through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the forgiveness of sins that has been made possible by his shed blood upon that cross. Father, we thank you for loving us that much, and we thank you for being willing to save us by your grace and keep us by your power. We thank you for your blessings and what a wonderful Lord you are, and a great and gracious and kind and merciful and generous Father you are to us, and we love you for it. And I pray, my Father, that as we go in now and to look into the Word of God, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would open the lips of thy servant and the heart of every person that you might do your work, teach us your word, show us things that will help us, and I pray at the same time you would convict us and comfort us, you would challenge us and change us. We give ourselves now to you. May our ears be ears that hear and our hearts be hearts that receive and our minds be minds that understand. Guide us now, direct us, glorify yourself, magnify your Son, edify your people, save the lost. Well, thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. The inspired pen of Hebrews likens the Christian life to the running of a race. We find in these two verses the motion, running, the methodology with patience, the motivation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the manner, without distracting care and unnecessary weights. And then we find the medal for running in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, where the Bible says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And again, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:25, "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Chapter 11 is filled with men and women who ran their races. And chapter 12, verse 3 gives us the perfect example of running the race in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have preached and I have heard countless messages on running the race. By the grace of God, I have run and will hope to run. And maybe one day I might be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "I've finished my course." I suppose when we read these verses, and as we read them tonight, you thought I was going to preach a message tonight on running the race. But I'm not. You see, there are times in the race when we will not be running. There are times when we ought not to run. And times when running is not what is needed most. Even times when we cannot run. There are times in life when God asks of us something other than, and perhaps even more important than, running. I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, where the Bible says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." And so I submit to you tonight that there is a time to run, but there's also a time, number one, to stand. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6, that famous passage of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 13 and verse 14. There's a time to run, and there's a time to stand. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to run?" No, to stand. "Run therefore." No, stand therefore. having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on we go into the armor of God. And the picture here is not of a runner, it's of a warrior standing. There's a time to stand, and there's a time to take a stand, and there's a time to hold your ground. There's a time when you have done all that you can do, and there's only one thing left to do, and that is to stand. There's a time when you must stop and stand in order, according to the verse, to withstand. This is the idea of resistance. This is the idea of this. Withstanding in the evil day. There's a time for standing versus shifting away. There's a time for standing versus running away. There's a time to dig in your heels and take a stand. It may be when all seems against you. If you look at that great cloud of witnesses mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, just before we are instructed about running, you'll find that they each stopped and took a stand. They took a stand for truth. They took a stand for righteousness. They took a stand for God. Yes, they ran, but they also knew when to stand. Daniel was a runner. But when they put him in the den with the lions, all he could do there was stand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were runners. But when they were cast into the fiery furnace, all they could do was stand. Joseph was a runner. But when he was put in prison, it was a time to stand. The Bible tells us that we stand in liberty, Galatians 5:1. The Bible tells us that we stand in the power of God, 1 Corinthians 2:5. The Bible tells us we stand in the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. The Bible tells us we stand in the faith, 1 Corinthians 16:13. The Bible tells us we stand in one spirit, Philippians 1:27. The Bible tells us we stand in the Lord, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible tells us we stand on the foundation of Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. And the Bible tells us we stand by grace, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 12. That's a whole lot of standing, amen? God has provided all of this in order that when the time comes to stand, we can. And we will. There's a time to run, and there's a time to stand. There's a time to run, and there's a time, number two. Turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm number 46. There's a time to run, and there's a time to be still. Look at Psalm 46, verse 10. God says, be still. And know that I am God. He didn't say run and know that I'm God. He said be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. There's a time for being still versus being busy. Sometimes we're so busy that we do not have time for God. Sometimes we're so busy in serving God, we don't have time for God. Sometimes we are busy and cumbered about with many things like Martha, when we really need to be still like Mary. In Luke chapter 10, verse 40, Jesus said, the Bible says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. The word cumbered means distracted with care and to be dragged about. Now, was Was Martha doing good things?
Well, sure she was. But she was being dragged about from one thing to another, one form of service to another form of service.
She was busy when she needed to be still and know that Jesus is God. God said, be still and know that I am God. You see, we want to do it. And we want to make it happen. Have you ever heard people say that? God will let you do it. But when it is we who are doing it, we don't know or don't realize that God's doing it. And sometimes we don't get to see what God can do because we're so busy doing it. There are times when we confuse busyness with spirituality. There are times when we confuse activity with effectiveness. There are times when we confuse running with getting somewhere. When all along God wanted us to be still so that we could see what He was doing. Do you remember the disciples when they were feeding the 5,000? They were so busy about serving and so busy about what they were doing, they never took the time to stop and see that Jesus was being God. And He even said to them later on, your hearts are hardened. You consider not the loaves and fishes. There are times when we can't, but He can. That's when it's time to be still. That's when we get to know that He is God. Somehow we get to thinking that God needs us, when in reality we need Him. Somehow we think that God cannot do it without us, when in reality He's doing it in spite of us. And I've often marveled before the Lord that He does so much in spite of me. I get in the way so often. How about you? And I usually get in the way when I'm busy and when I'm cumbered about with much serving. And sometimes God just says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I'm in control. Be still and know that I can take care of everything. Sometimes we confuse being still with being lazy, don't we? Well, if we sit down for a minute, we're lazy. If we be still, we're lazy. I got to be doing something. I have to be accomplishing something. Sometimes God just says, why don't you just sit down and be still? I'm God. I've got everything under control here. It's in the still times that you really get to know God. I remember a long time ago reading one of J. Vernon McGee's commentaries in which he wrote that he believed God allowed him to get cancer in order for him to be still. He said, I was so busy. I was so busy for God. I was busy here and busy there and busy about this and busy about that. He said, what I really needed to do was to be alone with God. And he said this. He believed that God allowed him to get cancer so he could just be still. And he said, I learned more about God laying in bed than I learned about God being busy for God. I read a sign somewhere that said, if you're too busy for God, you're too busy. There's a time for work, and there's a time to be still. There's a time for industry, and a time to be still. There's a time to be busy, and there's a time to be still. The Lord Jesus, He knew how to be still, didn't He? Jesus would spend time being still, spending time with the Father, spending time in prayer. And look at all He accomplished. Everywhere He went, He was healing people and doing miracles.
And yet he knew what it meant to be still and spend time with the Father. Being still and spending time with God is never a waste of time. Well, you know, if I spend too much time with God, I won't have enough time for everything else. That great reformer, Martin Luther, once said that if he did not spend 3 hours a day with God, he would not have enough time in a day to get everything else done. That's just the opposite of the way we think, right? Today we would say, well, what do you mean? If I spend 3 hours in prayer, I'll never get everything done. Martin Luther understood this. If I spend time with God, he'll make my time more profitable when I'm doing everything else. Sometimes, according to Psalm 46:11, we need to be still and realize that God is our refuge. Look what it says. He says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. And then in verse 11, he reveals to us that he is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. That's, we need to remember that. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He's not just for us, he's with us. When you be still, you get a sense of that. And he says here, the God of Jacob is our refuge. This word still, be still, is from the Hebrew word rapha. Now listen to this. It means to draw toward evening. Do you see the picture that word still is painting? To draw toward evening. What happens in the evening? When you draw toward evening, everything starts to slow down. Everything starts to quiet down. It refers to that time of day when the sun has gone down and work is now finished for the day. And this was written before there was electricity, before there was second and third shift. I think second and third shift is a bane to mankind. Now, I understand that we have a lot of products because of second and third shift. And I understand that we have a lot of advancements because second and third shift. But we have been drawn away from God because of second and third shift, I believe, in many instances. You know, God said, I'm going to give you the sun so that you can have a period of time to work. And then I'm going to darken everything. I'm going to draw everything to evening. I want you to stop working. I want you to settle down. I want you to be still. And what man said, no, we don't want to do that. We're going to make light for ourselves so that we can work in the day, we can work in the evening, and we can work after midnight. We don't want to settle down. We don't want to be still. We want to work. Make. Buy. Have. God said, be still. Come to the drawing of the evening. You see, this was written before radio and television and the internet, when the evening was a time for being still and reflecting upon the day and communing with your family and with God. He said, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm with you. Be still and know that I am your refuge. God says we need to purposely make time to be still and know him. Times when we reflect upon our day, our struggles, our problems, our needs, our successes, and our blessings, and know that it is he, God, that is our refuge, our provider, and our protector. That it is he who is the one who makes us to prosper. I think that this was a problem with Israel when the prophet Haggai addressed them. Turn with me to Haggai chapter 1. The book of Haggai, Old Testament prophet, in the minor prophets, toward the end of the Old Testament. Israel had become so busy that they had forgotten to become still and know that he is God. Look at Haggai chapter 1, verse 4.
Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. So God's saying this, you sure are busy. You sure are working hard. You sure are making money. But what good's it doing you? Look at verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. And so here they were working so hard, and they were neglecting God. How do you know they were neglecting God, preacher? Because they were neglecting his house. They weren't spending time with God. They weren't being still and knowing that he was God because they were neglecting his house. But boy, they weren't neglecting their house. They were busy about their house. They were busy, busy, busy people. And he said, you're bringing home much. Boy, they earned and they had and they went home with a whole pile and they put it on the kitchen table and God went, and it was gone. And they go out and work and work and work and work and they bring it back in, they put it on the table and God goes, and it's gone. And day after day and week after week and month after month. And God said, why don't you just be still and know that I'm God? The Bible says little is much when God is in it. Verse 10, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Look, it don't matter how hard you work, how busy you are. If God ain't blessing it, it ain't blessed. And I called, here's God saying, I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of your hands. You can work your hands raw till they bleed, but that doesn't mean you'll have more if God isn't in it, if God doesn't bless it. It'll get wasted. It'll get lost. It'll get taken. God says, you know what? You just need to settle down. You need to be still and know that I am God. Had they forgotten that it was God who caused them to prosper more than their labor and their financial cunning? Had they forgotten because they were too busy to be still and know that he is God? Now listen to me carefully. When I worked at General Electric and when I worked at Kaiser, I never once chose to work overtime instead of going to church, even for double pay. There were often times when they would come to me and say, listen, if you will work a double, that means I had to work on Sunday. If you work a double, you'll get time and a half for the first 4 hours. You'll get double time for the second 4 hours. And I can honestly stand here before God and say, never once did I take that offer. Why? Because Sunday was the Lord's day. That's why. And I needed to be still. I needed to come into the house of God and sit down and shut up and listen to what God had to say to me. I had to be still. And you know what? I had to be still and know that he's God. General Electric isn't God. And Kaiser wasn't God. And your employer isn't God. He's God. I can hear somebody saying, well, what about mandatory overtime? Well, you deal with that. That's between you and God. I'm telling you, I never went to paid. I worked any overtime that wasn't mandatory. I never worked any overtime on Sunday. And I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying we try to find excuses. Look, we need to dedicate the Lord's Day as a time of coming together and being still and knowing that he is God. In Psalm 100 and verse 3, Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You think God will take care of His sheep? I think He will. You know, there's a time to run and there's a time to stand. There's a time to run and there's a time to be still. And number three, there's a time to run and there's a time to be quiet. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to start reading at verse 9. Speaking of the great prophet Elijah. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, God, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what? A still small voice. You know, Elijah was used to big things. He was used to bold things. He was used to miraculous things, wasn't he? And when he was in trouble and distressed and afraid, he's running for his life. He looked for God to do something by earthquakes and by wind and by fire. He looked for God to lead him by some miraculous intervention. He said, Lord, they're after me. Send an earthquake and swallow them up. Lord, they're after me. I'm waiting for you to send a great wind and blow them away. Lord, they're after me. I'm waiting for the fire of heaven to fall down and burn up my enemies. And God said, no, I'm not in that. I'm not going to lead you by opening up the earth and swallowing your enemies. I'm not going to relieve you of your distress by blowing them away or by burning them up. He said, you know how I'm going to lead you in this, Elijah? With a still small voice. You know, we often want God to do something big, right? Something miraculous, something stupendous. How are we going to know? Sometimes we have so much wind and fire and earthquakes going on around us that we cannot hear the still small voice. You know, God does not need to shout. I'm just going to say this. It's kind of been on my nerve the last couple days. It's been on my nerve for a while, but I saw the president the other day, and he was with a bunch of religious leaders. I don't know if you saw them. A bunch of religious leaders up on the platform, and they're there praying. And this one guy was praying. And he's praying real loud, Lord, I'm a praying to God that you, by your power and by your mercy, would do great and mighty things. We need revival, Lord. I said, who's he talking to? What, is God in heaven with a little ear thing saying, what's that, son? When he wasn't praying to God, he was praying to everybody else. He wanted everybody else to hear the wind and everybody else to see the earthquake and everybody to feel the fire. Oh, you don't need to shout to talk to God. And God doesn't need to shout to talk to you. God doesn't need to shout. God does not always choose to be loud and demonstrative. There are times when voices thunder from the throne of God.
And there are times when he whispers. There are times when God divides oceans to lead his people. And there are times when he speaks softly through his written word. Huh? There are times when his voice is like a trumpet. Revelation 1:10. And there are times when his voice is still and small and soft. 1 Kings chapter 12, chapter 19, verse 12. Isaiah wrote of such a voice in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. What he's saying is that when you're walking through life, we're so tempted to turn to the right hand. We're so tempted to turn to the left hand. He said, but if you're paying attention and if you're quiet enough, you can hear that still small voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. The still small voice of his Holy Spirit showing you the way through his word. God speaks to us in such a fashion when we're quiet. When we stop telling God and start listening to God. Sometimes in the silence, God speaks the loudest. But sadly, too few Christians know the silence through which God speaks. This is being quiet versus talking with others. We always want to run talk to somebody, don't we? He says, why don't you just be quiet? Listen to me. This is being quiet versus venting. This is being quiet versus complaining. This is being, that's what Elijah was doing, right? He was venting and he was complaining. And he was crying. God said, you know what? Why don't you just be quiet and hear the still small voice? This is being quiet versus running to a video. You know, there's a time to talk and a time to be quiet. There's a time to seek counsel. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to surround yourself with friends and family and a time to get alone with God and be quiet. In the silence, he can calm the heart. In the silence, he can reveal his will. In the silence, he can reason with a still small voice instead of a strong arm. Sometimes we're so full of noise that we don't hear the soul voice, so he has to deal with us with a strong arm. Yeah, I'm amazed. I'm sorry about this voice, but I'm amazed. It was that prayer. That's what it was. Trying to shout. Yeah, I'm amazed at how many people can't sit alone in the silence. I mean, we have a whole generation that can't go anywhere without being hooked up with ear pods. Am I telling the truth? They can't drive in the car without having iPods or having an iPad on or having a radio on. They're adults. They don't even know what an iPod is, but they have to have the radio on. We got to have the TV on. We got to have something on making some kind of noise because we don't know how to be quiet. You know what I like to do? I don't like to drive. You know I don't like to drive. I would fly to Cleveland if I could afford it. I'd fly to Wattsburg. But when I have, I don't often drive, but when I do, I like to be quiet. My wife we'll be driving somewhere, and my wife will say, why don't you turn the news on? I'm going to sleep. I don't want no news. I don't want no music. I just want to be quiet and talk to God and think and meditate. and my heart with the Lord.
We live in a noisy world that often drowns God out. And we live noisy lives that often keep us from hearing God. Sometimes we're so busy running that we're not listening. Sometimes we're so busy searching that we cannot hear. Sometimes in our desperation to know, we aren't listening to the one who has all the answers. You see, there's a time to run and a time to stand. There's a time to run and a time to be still. There's a time to run and there's a time to be quiet. What time is it for you? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I must confess to you this morning, or this evening, that I would often much rather be running than standing still. I'd often rather be running than being quiet. But there's a time to stand and a time to be still and a time to be quiet. And maybe in your life, dear Christian, you've been so busy, so distracted, that you haven't spent time being still and being quiet with God. Or maybe you've even felt that you've confused being still with being lazy. Maybe you've been too busy for God. Perhaps you've been so busy serving that you've exhausted your own store of reserves and it's time to be still and know God. Perhaps you've been so consumed with the voices around you that you need to be quiet and hear God. Perhaps you've been running or even running away and you just need to stand. Perhaps to catch your breath. Perhaps to withstand or perhaps to start back in another direction, the right direction. Whatever it is, tonight's the night. There is a time. Maybe you're here tonight or watching or listening, and you've never been saved. Listen, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The devil wants to keep you distracted from your most important need, the salvation of your eternal soul. He wants to keep you busy about good causes and busy about religious deeds and busy about works of benevolence so that you never stop and hear the still small voice that says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Maybe tonight you've heard that still small voice that touched your heart and revealed to you that you're a sinner lost and you need to be found and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe tonight you'd like to receive him as your Savior and call upon him to forgive your sins and save your soul. If that's your need tonight, I want you to raise your hand just for a second. Just say, "Preacher, I have to be honest. I know I need to be saved." If you're watching or listening, you need to stop whatever you're doing. Bow your head to God and confess to him that you're a sinner and you deserve to die and spend eternity in the lake of fire. But you thank him for his love and his mercy and his grace and for sending Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, to die on an old rugged cross and to shed his precious blood to pay for your sins, to die, to be buried, rise again from the dead so he could offer you the gift that you now receive, the gift of eternal life by trusting Christ. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we are not sufficient for these things. Lord, we're not worthy. But oh, how we love you and thank you that you've counted us in Christ. And Father, you have allowed us to call you Father. Help us, my Lord, to understand that, yes, we're running a race. But there's times to stand, there's times to be still, and there's times to be quiet, which actually all help us run the race a little more effectively. Speak to our hearts tonight as we have the invitation. Do that which only you can do. Take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 238. I must tell Jesus. What do you need to tell him tonight? Do you need to tell him you're sorry? Do you need to tell him you'll be more faithful? Do you need to tell him you need help? You need grace? Why don't you come? Spend some time with the Lord. Come. Be still. Be quiet. Spend some time. 238.